This is The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies, hosted by Propel.
Manufacturers are responding to the global supply chain disruption by forecasting demand further out in the future. But the real challenge is securing the items needed to build their products. This week, we have another bonus episode for you from Propulsion 2021. In Lessons from a Disrupted Supply Chain, Michael Farr, VP of Operations and Plant Manager at MSA Safety, and Vicky Carl, Senior Manager Quality Management Systems at Rockley Photonics, join Dario to discuss shortages and transportation bottlenecks. And heads up, this year's Propulsion is next week. If you'd like to be there for more sessions like this, sign up now at propelsoftware.com/propulsion.
Vicky, Michael, thank you for joining us at Propulsion 2021.
Thank you for having us.
All right, great. So yesterday we heard from Bruce Melman talking a little bit about the semiconductor industry and some impacts of the global supply chain. And I'm looking forward to having this as a follow-up. Here we've got both a manufacturer and a consumer of semiconductor chips. So let's start by giving the audience a little bit of a background of what you do and what your companies do. So Vicky, let's go ahead and start with you.
So what Rockley Photonics does is we use silicon picks to do things that people had previously done. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with a transceiver. They're used in data centers and communications. And by doing it with photonics, we make it smaller, lighter, easier, better. And we're also expanding into manufacturing chips and modules that can actually be used in commercial uses, like fitness trackers to keep track of things like your blood pressure and heart rate and stuff like that.
Okay, Michael, how about you?
Yeah, thanks, Dario. We're an instrumentation manufacturer, a division of MSA, the safety company. Here in Milpitas, California, we're manufacturing fixed gas detection for industrial applications, also protocol translation devices for building automation. And as you pointed out, a big consumer of passive and active components, and struggling with that as we speak.
So let's start there. I hate to start on a negative tone, but can you give us just a little bit of background about how this shortage is impacting your business?
Sure. Well, unfortunately, just this week, it has come even to a more ugly position, if you will. We had one component for one of our critical products that we placed a purchase order for it in April of this year. And we were told, there's a worldwide shortage. It's completely out. You will not be able to get this component until November. And we struggled trying to find some resource on the black market, on the gray market, brokers, what have you, just could not find any material. So we've just been resolved to not having product until November. And then that would allow us to resume shipping in December. Many of our customers are not too happy about that, but again, they understand the situation worldwide and have resolved to that as well. Well, just this week, we've been told that the product that was going to be here in November is now delayed again until January, and that's not even confirmed. So here we're going to miss another 3 months or so of activity and revenue and year end, and it's probably maybe 15% of our business, so it's pretty significant.
Hmm. So if we dig into that, and then Vicky, I want to come back and how it's impacting you, but it sounds like you had basically a 6 month lead time on chips that should be delivered, and then it gets pushed back. So it's one thing if, hey, there's a shortage and it's going to take 6 months, but then why is it getting pushed back? Are basically chips being taken away from committed orders and being sent elsewhere, or is there some other impact that's just more than a global shortage here that's going on?
So my sense is it's a capacity issue right now. And worldwide, there aren't enough fabs. Worldwide, there aren't enough people in the fab to get the manufacturing, the fabrication done. So I think the planning process is looking at it from a pure revenue standpoint. This chip that we're using sort of is a dying technology, but it's still pretty robust. And we were able to, up until March of this year, get it off the shelf. But then all of a sudden it just dried up, and there are other manufacturers who are in the same boat that we are. I don't think the pool of us who use that chip is significant enough to come to the head of the line, if you will, in the fab process. And, you know, the automobile industry is taking up capacity. The smartphone industry is taking up capacity. The network switching instrumentation is taking up capacity. And I think just some of these instruments like we're manufacturing are just, the demand isn't there to justify the coming to the head of the line, as I said.
Okay. How about then from the other side, Vicki, how is this impacting your business?
Our business is booming. we don't make the kind of chip that would be like universally used, like Michael's talking about. Our product's very specialized. And we have fab houses all over the world to try to keep on track with our demand. But we are having trouble meeting some expectations. And we honestly keep hiring people, and we keep finding additional resources to help us keep up.
Okay. And earlier you mentioned that you were getting into more fitness instruments. Is that because there was a surge of that over the last 18 months, or was that something you were planning for a while?
We had been tossing it around for a while, but with COVID, everybody has just become more interested in health and wellness, right? So there has been more of a market for that, more of a market for that kind of product. And we can do it, like I said, better, lighter, et cetera. So we are just, we're going crazy.
Okay. So, you know, then how do you adjust for that? You mentioned you're looking at worldwide capacity, getting people. I mean, are you able to meet the demand in the areas that you're selling to, or are you basically just capped out at your max, you know, production rate here?
We're keeping up right now. We're basically, like I said, a lot of it has to do with, you know, you have to really plan in advance. You can't do, as Michael mentioned, you can't do that whole just-in-time lean manufacturing that we were all taught was the way to go. You have to really plan. You have to work with the suppliers, the fab houses, to make sure that we can do what we need to do. And additionally, like I mentioned, for us, it's also a matter of adding a lot of people to manage the production, the various places and the processes that we need to do.
Okay. So Michael, turning back to you, you did mention earlier that, you know, the just-in-time model isn't working, and even just hearing about, you know, what was going to be a 6-month lead time still getting pushed back. How are you able to maintain productivity, when this is the environment that you're working in?
Right. So echoing on what Vicki said, we are also in the midst of just a booming business. We're doing much better this year financially than we have ever. Our backlog is much stronger ever. But we are missing 10 or 15% of delivery requirements because of product availability. Now, as Vicki alluded to, you've got to do a really rigorous effort in your planning process. And so our supply chain group is looking, where they used to look out maybe 30 or 60 days for demand, Now we are presenting 6 months of demand, a year of demand, not even being shy from about procuring that type of product and volume. We understand the run rates of our products. We understand the trends and the life cycles of our products. So it's a little wider scope. And then I think the sales and operation planning process has to be come into play, and we've relied on that a lot more to understand the surprise demand, if you will, to be able to anticipate and react toward that.
Okay, so sounds like both of you, business going very well. You just have to plan a little bit further in advance. Michael, you mentioned that you were using a chip that was maybe a little bit older, but still very much, you know, up to the standards that you need. Have you considered switching, changing the chip?
Good question. On that particular chip, we can't, unfortunately. It's got a protocol embedded in it that no one else is making. That's how the company that designed that chip and that with that protocol is doing so well. Now, what did happen, another component, another product of ours is designed and being built in China, a great supply chain solution for us over the last 7 or 8 years. But they ran into a problem with an integrated circuit that did Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, couldn't get the product from a nationally known manufacturer, were able to find an alternate, had to redesign the printed circuit assembly. And then because it's a Wi-Fi Bluetooth chip, we have to resubmit it to the agencies for approval for FCC, radiated emissions, that sort of approval process. And also to our engineering team to fine tune the underlying firmware, because now the chip is going to behave a little bit differently. And that process is somewhat successful, where we were expecting product in 4 weeks. It's just been pushed out to 12 weeks. Even with the engineering approvals and the agency approval to change and move over to this alternate supply.
Okay, so all in, what are you looking at in terms of a timeline if you are going to change your design like that?
On a mature product, I think we did a fabulous job at running it about 12 weeks. And we were maybe in another world, we might have done things a little more serially. We ran parallel. We decided to bite the bullet, and that they were so confident, the engineering team were so confident the chip would work, that it would meet all the requirements, that we ran in parallel, buying the chip, building the product, even though we didn't have the firmware updated and the agency's approval. So those all met, and it's continuing to roll.
Okay. How about you're in a similar process, Vicky? So if you're getting into new industries, chips for new uses, how much time does it take you to go from deciding to enter a new use case or supporting a new type of product to actually delivering it?
Well, to be honest, a lot longer than 12 weeks. A lot of our development process, it could be 6 months to a year. When you are fabbing wafers and chips, the process itself at the fab house is a good 6 months, just right there, till you can even get something to test. So, but like I said, we are hiring at a phenomenal rate, and we have a very robust design team and process, and we're just going crazy. But yeah, we look at a much longer development, probably, like I said, closer to a year.
Okay. So then switching gears a little bit, outside of the semiconductor shortage, I know there's supply chain interruptions in general. And Michael, we've chatted quite at length about this, but what are some of the other challenges that you have just on the general manufacturing, availability of labor or transportation?
Yeah, so in our other MSA Safety's other plants, they're making helmets, fall protection equipment, fire gear, what have you. But they're having a very difficult time getting resins to mold the products. And I think that was tied to the cold snap that hit the Texas area back in March, where they really shut down a lot of the chemical processing at that time. That's my understanding, and it hasn't got caught up yet. So in those areas where they couldn't get those resins to do the molding process, they actually shut down the plant for a week or two and sent people home. Then the on the people side, it's been really difficult to get enough production associates to come in and work to hire new production associates. We're even having a difficult time in some cases finding supply chain associates to come in and fill the gaps where we need to, because we're doing this more rigorous planning now and more exhaustive search. Everything's just taking a little bit longer. And with the growth in business, we need to add some headcount in. It's just very, very tough. And it's not a matter of price. I think it's just a matter of people getting back to work. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, the traffic's still fairly light. And you can tell things are getting back closer to normal, but it's not the way it was pre-pandemic. And then on the transportation side, as we were talking prior to getting set up, we're anticipating the length in transportation growing, where shipments used to take 4 weeks to get from Asia to North America. We're now seeing 8 weeks. And then so we're planning, we're building that process in. We understand that. And if we can survive with a surface shipment with that delivery, we'll let it go, because obviously it's quite a bit less expensive to ship that way. But as Vicky also commented, we'll put it on a plane, and we'll sacrifice a little bit of margin, get it on the plane, get it in here, and there's no delays in that part of it at all.
So do you think you're going to see more and more shipping going by plane to avoid some of these bottlenecks that you're seeing with the ports and just truck transportation?
Strategically, I think that will probably end up that way. But I think the whole planning, we just have to understand the planning process and keep our fingers on what's really going on. One thing that someone told me that just the other day, I was really surprised. As everybody knows, California is pretty high on implementing changes due to climate change. And they put some restrictions in place that went into effect, I'll say this year, on trucks that the emissions related to the trucks, the diesel trucks. And so they actually had to pull a lot of those trucks off the road and try and get the new trucks out. And there's a shortage of big tractor trailer trucks right now. So that's compounded the issue as well.
Oh, all right. So I'm going to switch gears back to Vicky. So obviously a lot of challenges on the MSA safety side, but as you think of Rockley, you mentioned having to hire people, you mm-hmm. know, just globally, just keep up with demand. Any other like shortages in raw material, tariffs, anything like that?
That's not impacted? Really raw material. We have trouble test equipment, for example. You know, Michael talked about long leads. Getting new test equipment seems to be taking much longer than it used to. Getting new laptops for new employees is impossible due to the chip shortage. So, you know, it things like that that can really interfere with getting things done.
Okay. So we're throwing a lot out there. Test equipment. I mean, some of this stuff is basic. Laptops. Test equipment, I would maybe not as basic, but I would still expect to be able to find it. And then
exactly.
You start getting into labor, transportation. I mean, how do you manage all of these changes? And it seems like it's shifting on a daily basis. I mean, do you just need to stay flexible and figure out on a day-to-day basis what you're doing?
I would say that's pretty much what we do, is we stay flexible. And our procurement team and planning team are just constantly jumping and through hoops and trying to find things. You know, when somebody says, well, you can't get that for 12 weeks, then they try to go look somewhere else and see if somebody else can help us. Hiring for us has not been too horrible. We typically, since we don't have a factory per se, we are typically hiring more technical people and engineering staff, and we hire them wherever they are. And they work remotely. You know, if that person lives in Massachusetts and they don't want to move, then they stay in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And we work remotely. So that helps in the hiring process when you can be flexible about location.
Okay. And Michael, I don't think you have that same flexibility quite, do you? Or maybe a hybrid?
Not in the production associate in the operations group. No, we really need to have the people come into the factory and support us from there. But one of the things that I'll offer up to an allegory to what Vicky just said about the test equipment, we supply a flame detector that's used in the manufacture of the semiconductor fab area wet benches, if you will, and where there's an alcohol involved, and that alcohol is flammable, of course, there's a risk, and so they need a flame detector there. Now, we've been doing this for years. Our demand for that product has quadrupled. So that tells me that the semiconductor equipment manufacturers are just ramping up as fast as they can. And we can't keep enough of these units on the shelf to meet the demand to send them to their subcontract operations where these pieces of equipment are being manufactured. So we're seeing that demand. So the economy is starting to rev up. It's going to take a long time. It's getting hampered because of the component shortages.
All right. So on that note, yesterday I asked Bruce Melman, does he think this is going to go on for months, for years? And he didn't want to touch that prediction. But are any of you willing to give an idea on how long, whether it's specific to chips or this entire supply chain disruption on the transportation and other raw materials, how long we can expect to see this disruption last?
I'll offer up my first 2 cents on that. So the passive components, the resistors and capacitors, we have been able to get those without any problem. And I don't expect there to be much problem. Although I did hear one manufacturer speak a couple weeks ago that they expect to have a little bit of a problem in supplying those through the end of the year, which is good news. We haven't seen that though. We've been able to get everything we need. On the semiconductor, on the active side, everything I'm being told from the national distributors to the manufacturers, it's going to go well into 2022, if not all the way through 2022. And back to our first part of the discussion, I think the core of this problem is that so many devices need electrical components now. And that has just grown. That has exploded through the supply chain, and they're fighting for capacity.
Okay, Vicky, any thoughts on your end?
I think I have to agree with Michael. I think we're looking at another year of having problems getting, and sometimes things that happen or that you can't get are not even things you expect. Not necessarily semiconductors, but as we said, things like test equipment or anything that you use in the process is just, it's hard to get in a timely manner at this time. And I think it's going to take us a long time to catch up. I think a year.
So in that time frame, do you think something else will arise, another shortage in a different part or another kink in the supply chain that is not currently a problem but will develop over the next 12 months?
Oh, I think it very likely could. Okay. We just have to kind of keep their ear to the ground and try to stay on top of what's happening. But yes, I mean, and I guess that's what I was saying, is that every time you turn around, it's something different that you can't get.
Yep.
And that's hard to plan because you just aren't sure.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It's putting a lot of stress on the supply chain organization itself. And, you know, compounding the pandemic stress and then adding in the fact that it's difficult to do your job the way you think you should be doing your job. It's I'm surprised that I haven't seen more outbreaks of just frustration among my coworkers.
Yeah, we've had a few.
We're mainly working from home, so maybe we've had them. It's just been off camera, so I can't speak to that on the health side.
Now you can stick your head out the window and go, I can't take it anymore.
Exactly. You don't have to, you're not in the office, so no one sees it.
Yeah. All right. So on that note, any parting advice that you would give, you know, manufacturers that are dealing with some of these supply chain disruptions that we haven't already covered? Vicki, I'll start with you.
Any additional advice? I really don't think there's anything additional. I would just reiterate, plan and well in advance for what you think you need and allow extra time to get it.
Michael?
Yeah, and I think the communication can't go underlooked, where the sales and operations planning part of it, the whole supply chain team planning part of it, just communicate amongst yourselves and look forward. And with great products like Propel and Salesforce, the tools are there.
Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap. Thank you so much, Vicki, Michael. Thank you both for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Platform Rules Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelplm.com/podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelplm.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.